Hello there, and welcome to Tech Marketing Trends, the podcast where we dive deep into the latest strategies, insights, and innovations driving the tech marketing world today. I'm your host, I'm Jacob Lovenbrand, CEO of Bright Vision. And in this episode, I have the privilege to interview two CMOs at Kyndryl, a really exciting company. So we have Mary Carmen Ribes-Espinosa with us, who is the CMO of Kyndryl UK and Ireland. And we have Maureen Muthoa, who is the CMO and also leader and innovator at Kyndryl France. So I'm really excited to have a discussion about marketing for B2B tech companies, ABM, as well as how to work with a large spin-off from IBM as Kyndryl is, and apply startup and fast-moving tactics in order to get the marketing market up and running. So there's a bunch of interesting topics we will cover here today. So without further ado, welcome to Tech Marketing Trends, Maureen and Mary Carmen. So good to have you with us.
Thank you. Great to be here. Thank you.
Yes, I'm so excited to because you have such a massive story to talk about, because this is not an ordinary thing that a company spins off a section and such a big one as Kyndryl is. But let's not get ahead of us. Maybe we should just start with a short introduction here. So could you start to just tell a little bit about yourself, touching on your personal background and what your role is currently at Kyndryl? So maybe start with you, Mary Carmen.
Hi, so yes, great to be here. Thank you, Jacob. So I started my career more than 20 years ago. It feels a very long time ago, but not really. And in Spain, and I have a quite an unusual background because I have a legal background, and I was working in Spain in government relations in a big IT company. And from there, I went into sales and then marketing the rest of my career, doing many different roles like industry, like software, in country, in Europe as well. So have kind of a rounded experience. And the latest part of my career was in account-based marketing. And in the last 10 months ago, I was appointed as a chief marketing officer for UK and Ireland. So yeah, from Spain to the UK, I've been in the UK for more than 20 years. So as you can tell, because of my accent, I'm very, very British.
wonderful, Mary Carmen. And Maureen, what's your story?
I was born and raised in Kenya. I went to school, most of it in Kenya as well. And I started working in advertising. So for those in marketing, we know we call ourselves the advertising babies. So I worked in advertising for some time and then I moved into IBM. So my career at IBM started in Kenya, then I moved to the US. Then in the US, I did different roles from leading performance marketing to digital marketing to industry marketing to developer marketing in cloud. I moved from New York to San Francisco, back to New York again. And then I moved to Kyndryl, where I'm now leading marketing for Kyndryl in France. But before that, I was leading account-based marketing at Kyndryl at a global level, and it's where all this journey started. So again, that's from advertising into B2B marketing.
Two solid careers here that I'm really interested to learn from your experiences. But for our listeners who might not be familiar with what you referred to a little bit here, the journey with Kyndryl and IBM and how that have evolved into a separate company that you have needed to restart a lot of processes with a new mission, a new culture and things like that. Maybe you can give us a little bit of the background, how this journey have gone and, all the experiences you have seen while you embarked on that journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to introduce Kyndryl, so we spun off from IBM about 2.5 years ago, and we are one of the largest IT infrastructure service providers. We design, build, manage, and modernize mission-critical information technology that people in the world depend on, And we really think of ourselves, or we are a services company, so people are our biggest resource, so to speak. But then our key differentiator as we think of ourselves and what we do is really our heritage. We've come from a huge heritage of over so many years of doing this. We have wonderful people, and then we've also got great technology. So when you mix the technology and the people together, we're then able to sort of just bring exceptional services to our customers, where then they experience some great business outcomes, which is great for us. So, and we've got, and we'll speak more about it, but being a new company, we had to start from scratch, really thinking about what do we want to be known for, what's our purpose, what's our mission, and we'll explore deeper into what that really means and what how we've come along. But our biggest culture is really, we call it the Kindra way, and that's really what keeps us engaged with one another, with our customers, and with our community. And that's what keeps us going.
Yeah, so exciting. And that brings us a little bit into that part. That's interesting. And would like to ask a little bit about, even though you're not a new company, you're a new company, so to say. And Kindred places a strong emphasis on being a player of choice. And I know we have CEO who emphasizes the culture and things like that. So how does that philosophy influence your approach as a CMO at Kindred and the marketing strategies?
So we're an IT services company. So as Maureen was saying, our greatest asset really is our people. And in fact, our ambition as a company is to be the employer of choice, because we know that if our people are happy, we'll deliver a great service to our customers, and then our customers will be happy with our service, and we will become the partner of choice for our customers. And if our customers are happy, we will then become the investment of choice for investors. So in a way, it all starts with the people, with our employees. And we have built a differentiated culture that we call it the Kindred way. And the Kindred way is how we show up with empathy and how we are being thoughtful with our employees, with our customers, and with our partners. And the Kindred way was designed very, very purposefully from the beginning to really re-energize our 90,000 employees. And I'm really passionate about this. And at the heart of that culture, the Kindred way, also we have that as very important, providing an inclusive and flexible work environment. And when we are talking about inclusivity, we are talking about creating a safer space for everyone. We are being really intentional when we are recruiting. We also have Kindred inclusive networks. We call them the Kinds, to empower others. And I think in a way we are showing the industry that we can do this very intentionally as part of our culture. And as a leader, the culture is very important. So it's about really walking the talk, right? It's leading by example.
Yeah, and that feels like a big thing for Kindred to really work on those things, the Kindred way and things like that. And what would you say all these goals of becoming a partner of choice and an investor of choice and putting people first and things like that, and a very outspoken CEO who drives those, how does that foster a culture that supports these objectives from your perspective?
It really defines, and culture is really important. And it's one of those things where, like, we must get the culture right. And we must, when we get the culture right, we're going to live it every day. And our culture really defines how we engage with one another as employees, how we engage with our customers, but also with the community as large. So we have sort of like six key areas that we focus on. We want to be restless, so that we can continuously anticipate and learn and innovate, because innovation is really key in our industry. We want to be empathetic, and being empathetic, it's all about serving with trust and transparency, because we want to trust each other, we want to be transparent with each other, we want to know that everybody cares. And then we want to be devoted. We want to be devoted to our customers. We want to be devoted to our success. We want to be devoted to each other and be responsible for each other. Then, in terms of how we organize ourselves, we want to be flat, fast, and focused. Flat, again, it's all about accountability, and it's all about inclusive teams. Being fast, we want to be simple everywhere. It's always good to be fast and to iterate, and before you get it right, until you get it right. Then we want to be focused in terms of delivering exceptional service. Everything that we do, we want it to be exceptional. And as we defined this, we're like, what exactly is our purpose at Kindred? And we have this thing where we say, together, each of us advances the phytosystem that power human progress. So it's together, but each of us, so everybody has a responsibility to show up in the right way. to be restless, empathetic, devoted. And then as an organization, the way we move forward and we organize ourselves is by being flash, fast, and focused. We also defined leadership behaviors. How do you show up in these kind of ways? What are kind of leadership behaviors are we going to live with every day? When you talk about being fast, how are you as a leader? How are you a fast, agile, change leader? How are you empowering this agility and change in your team? You know, are you an empathetic role model to your employees, to the customers as well? You know, how do you listen to your customers' need? How do you address your customers' need? You know, how are we flat in everything we do? So this was sort of just the key things that we put out in our culture. And this is how we live every day. But we also run engagement surveys. You know, we run engagement surveys twice a year. We have a pulse survey and then we have a big survey at the end of the year. And it really tells us how we are doing as a company and how our employees are feeling, checking in the temperature. And we can say we performed really well, above average in most of those key areas that we think about, above average with our tech companies. And also we've got people who have come forward and they say that we want to be culture ambassadors, you know. They're empowered to do that and to really drive the culture in our different markets and in our different sites. So, I mean, it's something that everybody, every Kindred lives by every day.
Interesting to hear. And it feels like that's something that's really important for you both and for the whole organization. So, yeah, thanks for sharing that. Let's dive into a little bit more on the marketing side of what your driving initiatives, I think. And starting with a blank paper concept for the new organization and this new company that pretty much got free reins to build your own processes and things like that when you got spun out from IBM. How did you decide to place the ABM tactics and strategy at the core of your marketing plan and go-to-market strategies?
So I think that's a good question. I think that idea of starting with a blank piece of paper was exactly what attracted me to join Kindred. That kind of startup mentality, starting from zero and really build something different. And I think to understand why we decided to place account-based marketing at the heart of our marketing strategy, we need to understand the business priorities that we had at that time, like 2.5 years ago when we created Kindred. And at that point of time, our business strategy was focusing on fixing the business. And the reason for this is that we had inherited contracts that were not profitable, and we had relationships that were not at their best. So an account-based marketing program focused on what we call the three R's. So that's relationships and reputations and revenue, made total sense in the sense that, you know, from a relationships point of view, it was all about restoring and resetting the relationships we had with customers. And from a reputation point of view, it was about showing up differently in front of our customers as the trusted partner of choice. And we knew that if we got those relationships and reputation right, the third R, which is the revenue, would come. So that's why we decided to, is that alignment to the business objectives.
And you had some experience before, so I suppose that was a natural thing to do. So really interesting to hear that strategy part. And the company started 2.5 years ago, and 2 years ago, you kicked off your ABM programs. That is really at the heart of your marketing strategy. So can you just elaborate a little bit on where in that journey are you right now and how's it been doing so far?
ABM has really made us become a critical part of the business. When you think about marketing, when you think about marketing at Kindred, ABM is one of our critical programs that we run. And over the past 2 years, we've had loads and loads of successes. I can probably name a few. We've seen, again, we track our achievements based on the three R's, which is revenue, relationships, and reputation. Revenue could be signings, it could be pipeline, it could be revenue at whatever stage of the account it is. We've seen signings grew by 32 percent points year on year, comparing to the accounts that were not ABM accounts. We saw, of course, pipeline as well grew better than the other accounts by 14 points. The NPS grew by plus 11 points, which is fantastic because then we can see the value that just the feedback from our customers were on accounts which were more engaged with ABMers and marketers. Then we've now extended our program from we initially the initial accounts were 50. Now we've extended the program to about 300 customers, and we're just loving doing ABM. And then again, the team, we can see this from our team as well. Most of our field marketers, if not all, are extremely engaged. Everybody is happy. They know how they contribute to the business. They are all totally engaged with their account teams. They work with them every day. They're in the field, and they just get so much benefit from their job. So I think from in a nutshell, I can say very key results, fantastic feedback from the teams and also from the account teams on the ground who are engaging with these field marketers every day.
Wow, that's cool. I expect a lot of listeners getting a little bit envy here, hearing all that fantastic results you have produced over the last 2 years. So maybe we can go into the implementation and measuring of ABM a little bit here too. So if you maybe could walk us through a little bit how you measure the outcome and obviously the successes of your ABM campaigns. What are, for example, key indicators? How do you measure these metrics and so forth?
So to measure our progress of our account-based marketing program, we use what we've mentioned about the three R's, right? So it's reputation, relationships, and revenue. And I think in terms of reputation, traditionally we used to measure, press releases and customer references. We still use that. But we have also created this new concept of customer moments. And customer moments are micro moments of togetherness where a customer publicly shows their partnership with us. It could be like a social post showing an activity we have done in partnership, for example. And this kind of, they are kind of moments of time, but very, very important for us because it's about showcasing that kind of partnership. In terms of relationships, which is the second R, for every account that is part of the account-based marketing program, we create a stakeholder map with all the key stakeholders and track their level of influence in the decision-making process and also the level of advocacy for Kindred over time. So that is how we measure, that kind of stakeholders going maybe from a neutral to an advocacy state. And then the third R, which is revenue, as Maureen was mentioning earlier, we track signings, but also pipeline as well. So, and the experience has told us that when we get reputation and relationships right, then that revenue piece always comes.
When we talk about ABM now, we also know that scaling ABM can be challenging for especially large organizations. And you're definitely a large company, even though you're pretty new. So, what strategies have you employed at Kindred to effectively scale the ABM practices and things like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Scaling can be a challenge. Absolutely. And we've seen that. So, what we've done is we've sort of clustered our ABM approach in three ways. So, we've got one-to-one, where you've got one field marketer for one account. We've got one-to-few, and the one-to-few could be one field marketer to few, maybe industry. You can think of FSS specifically, you can think of banking, you can think of retail. And then we've got one-to-many, where you've got really spread efforts across, but this could be based on the customers who have similar customer needs. Probably, if there's a regulation as an example that we have DORA today in Europe as an example, that could be one of the things. So really clustering the approach and having, again, based on what does the account plan say? What are we going after on these specific accounts? Which we know not all accounts are equal, so which accounts do we need to invest more time and effort on? And those are the ones that get one-on-one, and then which ones have common customer needs, and then where else can we then cluster the rest? The other thing we've done is that everybody in marketing, believe it or not, we are all activated to deliver on ABM programs. So think of all the central teams, whether it's the campaign teams, whether it's the content team, whether it's the paid media team, they are all activated to really build a set of programs, of course, from bottom up, which then support the ABMers on the ground, and they deliver really unique customer journeys. We also have marketing KPIs. Everybody, we all have a common goal in marketing at Kyndryl, and everybody is behind that goal. So it doesn't matter whether you're in a market or in the central team, at the end of the day, it's going to be how are we helping our customers and how do we deliver the 3 Rs as Marie Carmen mentioned. And then, of course, we've got the technology and tools. So we've got tools that help us really run sort of campaigns. Then we've got tools that help us. And when we speak of tools here, I'm thinking broadly in terms of our really fantastic customer insights dashboard, which we developed internally, which is we call it the LTV or customer lifetime value tool, which helps us give us some insights, and we've scaled that we leverage our shared services team to really help us develop that. Then we've got a team of field marketers who are really skilled. You know, I want to believe that everybody at Kyndryl is a field marketer at heart because the customer is always at the top of mind, and we all go to market focused on customer needs. So thinking about the skills we're investing in training our ABM field marketers and the investment we are putting in there. And then we have a center of excellence which really supports all the field marketers in our 10 plus markets across the world.
Wow, what an organization. That's so cool to hear all those roles and how you organize that to come together in an orchestrated way. And that brings us a little bit into another tactic that is crucial in order to get ABM to work, and that is selecting the right accounts to work with. Can you share the process and what criteria you typically use at Kyndryl to pick the accounts to go after with the ABM programs?
One of the key things we do, and so again, going back to Marie Carmen's initial analysis of we our short-term objective at Kyndryl was the 3 A's: to grow our accounts, our alliances, and then advanced delivery. So thinking about how do we get more, how do we grow in terms of the accounts we have today, how do we get more business out of them? So what we did was we sort of looked at the profitability of the account against the headroom or opportunity for growth. So just think of it as an axis. You've got the profitability, high, low, medium, and then you've got opportunity for growth, or we call it headroom. Thinking about how much business are we doing with them today? What's their IT share of wallet and how much can we grow that? How much are they doing internally and how much are they outsourcing to our competitors? And how much business do we have to expand for ABM, which have sort of the highest headroom for growth or the highest opportunity for growth? So that is one of the ways. Then thinking about our second A, which is alliances, and thinking about right now we are vendor agnostic, right? We've got partnerships with all the hyperscalers as an example, and so many other partners as well. And thinking about where can we expand our opportunity to grow, leveraging on our alliance partners. So thinking about where do we partner more? How do we expand into these accounts which we are not in today, and into the areas we are not in today, leveraging on our alliance partners? And then, of course, the third approach was, I mean, from a country perspective, thinking about the account team as well, right? We're all going to be working on this with account teams. Are the account teams open to ABM? How embracing are they to just having this marketer added as being part of their team? And we've seen a lot of success in just how the customer partners and the managing partners of the different accounts are all eager, and they're all looking for all these field marketers to join their teams, and they want to run ABM in their team. So really data-driven approach at the end of the day in terms of profitability and headroom, but also thinking about other things like the willingness of the account team to be part of the ABM program, which is really crucial for the success of the program.
Yeah, wow. As you know, touched a little bit on here, crucial success factor is, of course, the close collaboration between marketing and sales in those kind of setups. So obviously this works really, really well at Kyndryl. So could you give a little bit of background how you organize this and what practices you have discovered when you have developed this process that have driven the results that you have mentioned?
Yes, yeah, so in Kyndryl, we have ABM professionals, affiliate marketers that are aligned to one, two, or three accounts, depending on the markets. In the UK, we have one, two, or three. And the interlock with the account teams is really, really critical. And I can bring my own experience as an ABM practitioner as well. I think, you know, the first weeks when you start working with a new customer, a new account, the field marketer spends a lot of time doing what we call the deep research about the customer, you know, reading through the annual reports, looking into the website, doing some social listening to really get that deep understanding of their business priorities, of their company strategy, the challenges, etc. And then once you've done that piece of deep research and understand the customer, it's a matter of earning that seat at the table with the account team. And you do that by continuously adding insights and value. So that's super important. You need to keep, and it's not that you do the deep research once and that's all. You need to continuously be doing that deep research to represent the customer in every meeting. And the second thing that is quite important is to agree with the account team the objectives about the three R's. So what are we trying to achieve with that customer in terms of relationships, in terms of reputation, and then build a marketing plan to support those objectives and obviously delivering on that marketing plan. But it's very important that you keep up to date with what the customer is trying to do. You represent those business objectives, you know, keep bringing them back to the account team. And, you know, listening skills, for example, is very important, I think, in my experience, really trying to understand what the account team is trying to do and connect the dots with, you know, with other things that might be happening in your organization that you can leverage to support those objectives around reputation and relationships. So it's hard, but I think it's very rewarding when you get there.
This is something you definitely have done really, really well. So maybe we should be really tactical and practical to understand a little bit how it can look like. So would it be possible to provide an example of a successful ABM play that you have done at Kyndryl and the potential impact it had on the relationship with the clients?
So there are a couple of examples that have worked really well for us. So in the UK, we created a crisis simulation experience for a high street, very well-known retailer in the UK. And the context was that we have a really good relationship with the IT department. The IT department, this organization had a really strong security posture, but they wanted to raise the awareness, you know, especially in the case of a potential data breach. They wanted to explain or to communicate to the board what would be the implications would be. And we are talking about the board, about CFOs, COOs, etc. And what we did was to create this immersive experience where we invited all those business stakeholders and took them through a crisis simulation of a data breach so they could see the impact that could have in terms of reputation, press, share price, etc. So that worked really well because it helped raise the profile of the importance of cybersecurity within the, you know, for the IT department with their business stakeholders. And for us, this was a long-term customer. We didn't have any relationships at the board level, so it helped us build a relationship with the CFO and the COO. And also, actually, we got a couple of marketing awards for this crisis simulation experience last year, so the team did a great job. It was the B2B Marketing Award and the Drama Award. We got highly commended. So that was a very nicely success story in terms of engaging with the customer and then showcasing that in the industry. Another example of ABM programs that or ABM initiatives that are working for us is aligning around ESG, so environmental, social, and governance, shared values. So, for example, we've been doing some sustainability joint activities like a beach clean, for example, with customers. And this has helped actually from a cultural point of view and relationships point of view, especially to bring together people who can spend, you know, outside of the office doing something totally different that is good for the planet and also helps in terms of building that relationship. And in terms of reputation, it's a way of showing up differently as well for Kyndryl. So another example, as well as part of this kind of ESG shared values, so International Women's Day campaign last year and this year, we are doing a social media campaign with our customers, with some of our key stakeholders who want to share their views on the importance of on diversity and inclusivity, mentors, etc. So it's another way of partnering in a different way, so showing up differently in terms of shared values.
Oh, wonderful. What a great play there. And so cool to hear. You mentioned a little bit about recognizing customer moments here and celebrating progress and things like, sharing LinkedIn posts and public acknowledgments. Can you elaborate a little bit about how Kyndryl measures the depth or the quality of client relationships, if there's anything we can learn from there?
Yes, and Marika mentioned about customer moments, which is one of those things. You know, from where we've come from, we always used to say, "Well, we need a case study. We need a case study." But then we realized, or we reimagined, and really rethought about how do we measure the relationships with our customers? And customer moments are one of those things that we measure. And it could be as easy as a LinkedIn post, like you mentioned. It could be a customer really advocating for us on our behalf. So we've got like five critical scores from 1 to 5, five being an advocate, a customer advocating for us, being on stage with us at an event or even a third party event, but standing up with us and really being on stage and speaking, co-creating with us, speaking on our behalf. And then a fourth score would be a supporter, somebody who's worked with us, somebody who trusts us, somebody who can give their opinion, somebody who can be called upon, especially where there's like an RFP. I can give a good one. A three would be a neutral, somebody who's indifferent, and really the objective, and of course you've got the two and the ones, two being a known relationship and one being the cynic who doesn't believe or trust in us. So the focus here on relationships is to move, to get new relationships, but also to move the ones who are the ones and the twos into becoming advocates. And that's how we measure the quality of the relationships that we have with our customers.
Wonderful to hear. So maybe we also could just hear a little bit about the marketing account plan that you had at Kyndryl and how it integrates with your ABM strategy and how it fosters to strong client relationships and drive growth going forward.
Okay, so account plan for us is quite an important milestone in terms of our business planning. And actually, in Kyndryl, we call it customer planning growth. And the words has been chosen very, very thoughtfully. It's not an account, this is really about the customer, and it's about how we can help them growth. And it all starts with, what is the business objectives? What is the customer business objectives? What are they trying to achieve? And having that deep understanding of what the customer is trying to achieve in terms of business, overall business strategy. And the account-based marketing field marketeer plays a really strong role there. It's at the core of this process, really bringing those insights around what are the business objectives. On the back of the customer planning growth, the teams agrees what are the priorities in terms of how Kyndryl can help that customer. And on the back of that, there always will be a marketing plan, an account-based marketing plan that will support those business objectives that will have been agreed with the account team. So totally, the kind of the field marketeer that is supporting that account planning growth is really at the core of the whole process. And this is really the starting point of what will be the marketing plan.
Wonderful. You have shared so generously about your ABM programs here and so forth. So thank you so much for that. I know you're a busy executive, so you have a lot of stuff going on. But if there's a CMO or somebody else in the marketing or sales area of a larger company like Kyndryl who, think about how they can improve or maybe start up an ABM program, do you have any final thoughts or recommendations to give them in that case?
I think for me, one of the key success factors of our account-based marketing program was that we spent quite a lot of energy in educating the account-based marketing team on an account-based marketing methodology. So we partner with IT, SMA to really get that starting point for everybody to really understand what we were trying to do, because it's very different to any other traditional marketing approach. And I know that ABM has been around for a long time, but it was very important to get everybody on the same page, to really speak the same language, to really measure the same things. And the other very important piece was, we had 50 accounts the first year that were selected globally. Allow that or promote that collaboration and best practice sharing, because what something that is happening in Japan, that experience that is happening in the other side of the world is probably very valuable in terms of any other part of the world. It could be very, very important to share that experiences. And so in Kindred, we have really made an effort to share all these experiences across all the markets to grow and progress faster. We're talking Kindred about progress every day. It's not about perfection, it's about making things every day a bit better, progress every day. So that's kind of the my tip for everybody will be that, keep sharing.
Yeah, and I think the only thing I can add on my requirements list is really have, and I know we used to be told this in class all the time, for somebody to be interested, have a bucket of goodies to take to them, So for us, the data and insights and the analytics and just whether it was customer insights, whether it was the account insights, whether it was competitor insights, whichever kind of insights were really interesting for our field marketers to go in front of the account teams with, something that they don't know about, something they're discovering. So having data analytics behind it and really some tools behind it was really important. And then also the community that, people meeting every week, sharing best practices, learning from each other, and really understanding and just pegging it up. It's all about the customer and the customer needs and how do you understand the customer, and then sharing things which could have happened somewhere that they can be leveraged in another country. And just being aligned to the business objectives. At the end of the day, you're running a business, you're working for a company, there are business objectives, and ABM really helps us to be behind the business objectives. And that was really the most important thing for us.
Really good parting words. Thank you so much. And it was a pleasure to talk to you here. But for people listening into this and maybe would like to contact you and ask for more recommendations or so, where can they connect with you? Is it LinkedIn your preferred?
Yeah, LinkedIn works. Very happy to connect with peers around the world.
Yeah, absolutely. LinkedIn, Maureen, Muthua, we are all there and we'll be happy to connect.
Okay, well, thank you so much, both Mary Carmen and Maureen. It was a pleasure talking to you, and I wish you all the best with the new endeavors and the ABM programs going forward for Kindred as well.